T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Kim Jones in for Joe and Evan momentarily. Joe expected maybe the top of the hour, so Joe will join me for his show, and we go till 2. CMB follows the show, so I'm kind of filling in for an hour, and in doing so, first and foremost, Evan Roberts is on vacation. Rascona says to me during the break, you do know that. Yes, if I didn't say it, Evan on vacation, Joe on his way. How's that? So we've set the show because it is the Joe and Evan show. Evan and Joe show. Evan and Joe, Joe and Evan. Either way, Dove. But I am thrilled at the moment to bring in a guest who I get all to myself, and that is Steve Spagnuolo, the former defensive coordinator for the Giants. You know him in the NFL for a long time. You also know him, if you know him at all, as a great guy. Spags, it's Kim. How are you?
Kim, I'm doing great. It's great to hear your voice.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you for many reasons, including the idea that we just watched a Super Bowl where Tom Brady should have thrown for 600 yards and Nick Foles picked apart a defense that had been playing well. What did the defensive coordinator in you, Spags, think of that Super Bowl?
I was cringing. You know, it was hard to watch, I guess, if you're a defensive guy. But look at all the credit to the offensive coaches on both sides. I mean, we know what Tom can do and always does it, but Nick Foles and Doug Peterson, what they did should be commended for it. It made for an exciting game, right?
Yes, it was compelling. Yeah, it really was. Much. What do you think of a game where both quarterbacks are targeted with passes? One comes through in a big way, and frankly, Tom came up pretty small on that non-catch.
Where they turned themselves into receivers,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Always a little bit of a risk, right? Because you're asking somebody that doesn't normally throw the ball to throw it, get it on target. You're asking a receiver that's not normally a receiver, or a quarterback that's not normally a receiver, to make a play. And it has to be exact. It has to be perfect. One worked. I mean, Tom just missed that one. Game of inches, right?
Yep.
One team converts and one team doesn't.
Spags, you were obviously part of a Giants season. Listen, it's no secret it didn't go as planned. The defensive backs had a couple of issues, three suspensions, it turned out, for a game. What do you think of a decision, in this case by Bill Belichick, for reasons that aren't exactly clear, to not play Malcolm Butler in that game at all?
Yeah, you know, Kim, really hard for any of us on the outside to draw any kind of conclusion or pass any kind of judgment, because we just don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would just say this. Look, I'm the last guy that's going to question Bill Belichick. I mean, he's been making right decisions for a long time. So, you know, whatever the coach inside of him said to do it, I'm sure in his mind he did it for the right reasons. And the one thing about Bill is he'll live with that, because he's a stand-up man. And I'm sure when he decided it, he felt it was the right thing to do.
Kim Jones with Steve Spagnuolo on The Fan. Spags, would Malcolm Butler, though, in your mind, take away respect for Belichick's decision in a game like that, where Nick Foles ends up completing 15 of 21 in the second half, when I think the Patriots played more zone probably than they wanted to, but they were trying to make stops somehow? Would Malcolm Butler have made a difference?
Well, we'll never know, right? I mean, it's an interesting question. Now, I haven't, like probably the both of us, Kim, I mean, I haven't dissected it and looked at coaches' tape and really evaluate. I believe Eric Rowe replaced him, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and so without sitting here and saying how well did Eric Rowe, how well did he not do, and it's hard to tell from just watching it one time on TV. I'm sure they'll look at it and decide. Everybody will have their own opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we won't know, because somebody else played, the game went the way it went, and, you know, I don't want to take any credit away from the Eagles either. I mean, Nick Foles and that team did a really nice job finding ways really to control the football. They had it for like 34 minutes. And when you're playing Tom Brady, I mean, the one thing you want to do is keep him off the field as much as you can, right?
Spags, when you coached against that Eagles team at MetLife Stadium late in the season, the first full game that Foles had after Wentz's injury, Did you say to yourself, I don't know if you'd think this way anyway, but did you see in that Eagles team a possible Super Bowl team?
Well, I mean, I think we all felt like, okay, what's going to happen? They lost their best football player when Carson Wentz got hurt. I think we can all agree with that. I mean, he was just terrific. The plays he made and how he generated offense for that team and a catalyst to get them to whatever they were at that point. I don't know, maybe 11-2 at that point. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's natural, I think, for all of us to think, okay, oh my God, what's going to happen? There's a new quarterback in there. And yet, I think the way Doug handled it and his staff, I mean, what I recall from that game, Kim, is they dialed it down a little bit. There certainly wasn't as much volume, I didn't feel like, coming out of it, as much volume of offense than Carson Wentz had, which I think was really smart on their part. They just let Nick do what they felt he could do. He showed them they could, you know, these RPOs and the other things and the play action pass, not all RPOs. And he could get it in tight windows. And look, he the one thing that impressed me about Nick, Kim, was nothing was too big for him. Mm-hmm. Going in as the backup taking over for Carson Wentz wasn't too big for him. He played four games. He got ready. He got in the playoffs. They beat Atlanta. Then he has a great game against Minnesota. And he played really well in the Super Bowl. So my hat goes off to him. I mean, you got to give him a lot of credit for stepping in and doing what he did.
What should the disappointed Giants fan take from the idea that the two Philadelphia games were possibly, certainly among the best played games the Giants had all season, in my opinion, and both conceivably with a bounce of the ball or a missed field goal could have been Giants wins against the team that ultimately won it all?
You know, great point, Kim. I didn't really think of it until you just said it there. I mean, look, at the defensive coach in me says if we could have just played a little bit better on defense, we would have won those games. Man, our offense found ways to really do nice job scoring points in those two particular games, the third game of the season, and then obviously late in the year. Yeah, I guess we could take away, you know, the Giants could take away a little bit from that. I mean, we all use barometers, right? But the one thing about this league is we all know now that the Eagles have won the Super Bowl and the season's over, all 32 teams are 0-0 going into 2018, and all teams will be trying to do the same thing from now until their first game of the season.
Steve Spagnuolo with Kim Jones here on The Fan. Spags, I was struck by the fact that the Saturday before the Super Bowl was the 10-year anniversary of you and the Giants beating the Patriots in Super Bowl 42. And one thing OCU Manura said in a piece the Giants did was they had never seen a defensive line like we had. And I saw OC coincidentally on the field before this game, and we reminisced about that a little bit. When you think back to Super Bowl 42, and let's face it, that's a more pleasant memory for Giants fans in many ways than what they have recently. What stands out to you on your ability to limit Brady? He was 29 of 48 for 266 yards in that game.
Wow. Long time ago, right? 10 years. I always go back to, I mean, I thought our coaching staff did a good job in a couple of wrinkles that we did that they hadn't seen, okay? But take that away. I just thought the intent, the passion, the resolve, the determination that all of our defensive players had. I mean, we're talking about defense. Certainly the guys up front, moving Justin inside, having the capability to have Michael and Osi on the outside. I mean, for any offensive line was going to be a challenge. But Antonio Pierce in the middle, just making adjustments throughout the game, coming over and making suggestions, I thought was huge. And, you know, let's not forget about the guys on the back end that were covering. I thought they did a great job disguising. Corey Webster played Randy Moss. We shadowed him the whole game and for the most part did a good job, gave up a touchdown when he slipped there at the end. But I just think that the group effort and the resolve and the heart that the guys showed was terrific. And, you know, when OC says that about not having seen a group like that group of defensive line like that up till that point, I think is just the confidence. It just shows the confidence that those guys had against New England that particular day.
Spags, when you fast forward to this past season, you obviously ended it as the Giants interim coach. A lot of us were rooting for you to stay because we like you and have so much respect for you. When you look and you mention Antonio Pierce, is it simplistic to look at the current Giants defense and say, man, they do need a strong leader, whether it's at middle linebacker or not, but that's a group that really needs a strong leader?
Well, look, I'll let the people that are there now figure that out. I mean, I did think we had some strong leaders in our group. Mm-hmm. It was a rough year. I mean, at some points, you know, with some of the things that we went through, I'm not sure that it would have been hard for anybody to overcome them. I believe there's enough there. There's quality men. There's good character guys in that group defensively. I trust that they'll rebound because I do believe in those guys there, and I'm hopeful that they do. I really am.
If they're healthy, let's say you had had a healthy unit, which would have been in your dreams, obviously, but a healthy unit, do the Giants, again, last year's defense, healthy, you're the coordinator, and then the interim head coach, if healthy, though, maybe you would have just been the defensive coordinator because the season might have gone differently,
right,
let's be honest.
Right.
But in that scenario, do the Giants have the talent and personnel to be multiple Spags, and could you have had some more creativity with the group had they stayed healthy?
Yeah, it's a great point, Kim. I mean, it is important that for the most part you still stay healthy. It's when you get really depleted at one position that kills you. The one thing that I thought, and I've mentioned this before, it was hard for us. It would be hard for any defensive group of coaches, any defensive players. When you play five different Mike linebackers throughout the season, which we had to do, we had some injuries there. I think there's some good players there who will surface and they'll have good careers going forward. But, you know, we can't control injuries. But that particular spot, so let's go back to Antonio Pierce, Kim, what we just talked about. Mm-hmm. I mean, Antonio stayed relatively healthy throughout his career, never wanted to come out of the game. Heck, he never wanted to go get an MRI because he was fearful that they might find something right. He wouldn't be able to play. But that's the kind of guy you were dealing with. But that kind of continuity, which you hope going forward the Giants have, I think will make a huge difference because there's enough guys around, whoever the Mike linebacker is, whoever can stay healthy and be there all the way throughout, that I think they can be a quality defense. I mean, you go back, you know, turn the clocks back to 2016. That's the group that we envisioned. You know, now we needed some depth, but I thought the way we functioned and played, we were all hopeful it was going to be the same thing in 2017. We just had some hurdles to overcome, and we didn't do it and didn't quite play as well as we thought.
Well, and in that vein, B.J. Goodson's injuries had to break your heart. I mean, the guy against Dallas has, what, 16, 17, 18 tackles, and then never could stay on the field after that.
Yeah, made it hard. And I think the one thing, you know, we go through an offseason where we didn't have Kelvin Shepard initially throughout the whole offseason. So BJ surfaces, we're going to make him the guy. And he slowly won over the confidence of his teammates. And then he goes to Dallas and does what you're talking about to everybody's kind of, we feel good. But then the injuries strike and you can't control him. He was out a couple games, fought his way back for a couple more. But it was just so inconsistent up and down. And like the quarterback on offense, the guy standing in front of the huddle, you know, everybody wants to hear that same voice, feel good about it. And we just kind of had to maneuver our way through a bunch of guys throughout the season. And it was only one of the reasons why we didn't, you know, perform as well as we wanted to. But certainly it's a really important one.
Spags, what's next for you? You and I had a nice visit last week in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
I know, like I said, people are rooting for you all over the place. What's next?
Well, and I appreciate that, Kim. I did certainly sit down and enjoy talking to you. Well, we'll see. There's nothing on the horizon right now. It was a little bit late. That's just kind of the risky run with the calendar of the NFL. But I'm not done coaching. That's too much burning inside of me. I love the challenge of coaching, working with guys, you know, mentoring young men, even when it gets difficult, because I do believe in building people up and not breaking people down. And so if it's not something this year, I'll keep myself busy, and then we'll hope that next year, God willing, you know, we can find another spot and do what we do. I'm hopeful.
Well, I'm hopeful on your behalf. Last question. One of the highlights of the Super Bowl to me, and it will remain, was the Eli Odell Dirty Dancing NFL commercial that I thought was hilarious. Did you see it?
I got the biggest kick out of it. I did, Kim, and I looked at it and I said, what are you guys doing, you know? But it was fun. I mean, it was a big lead-up, right? Wasn't a couple commercials consecutively. And then all of a sudden, I think Landon Collins, I got a quick glimpse of him. But look, they were having fun. I'm sure they enjoyed it. And now they got something to look at for years to come. I don't know. When Eli's kids get a little bit old, I don't know what they'll think of it, but they got something to they got something to look forward to for his dad. So it was pretty cool.
Among the Giants fan base, Eli might never be more popular than he is now, Spags. You know it?
I think you're right about
He'd
that.
He'd win the
I
vote. He would win the popular vote.
No question. You make me laugh every time I think of it because it was just, you know, the setup, the music, the whole thing, and then Odell, and he flies around, and that thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
Good for those guys.
Yep. And Odell flying around, obviously a good sign, hopefully, of things to come. So, Spags, you're the greatest. Come to NFL Network for a while. We'd love to have you.
Well, we'll see, Kim. You know I enjoy you, and I have always appreciated your knowledge. You're terrific in what you do. So our relationship won't change, and it will continue. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, Spags, very much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Steve Spagnuolo, great, great guy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.